Our first scripture reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabitable salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings.
This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He, Jesus, came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. And then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. May God add his blessing and lend understanding to the reading of his word." In honor of Valentine's Day tomorrow, it's a Hallmark holiday, by the way. As far as the way it's done in our culture, there was a Saint Valentine, but it really is a Hallmark holiday. If you don't make yourself merry on Valentine's Day, it's nothing sinful or wrong. A little poem about love. They sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. This song was from Bob Dylan's most painful LP, I think, Blood on the Tracks, from 1974, one of his best. It's called A Simple Twist of Fate, the song is. And I've often thought about those words. I've wondered how, to what degree they are autobiographical, if at all. The song's lead character meets the woman of his dreams, only to realize that his past is too problematic. Up to that point, he had lived his life the wrong way. And when love, true love, he felt was sitting next to him, he knew he was not good enough for her. He wished that he'd gone straight. He might have wished earlier in life that he'd follow the advice that we read this morning from Psalm 1. Happy are those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Perhaps if the character in that song had done that, if he'd straightened up and flown right, he could have been ready when the moment arrived. In Psalm 1, people are happy for what they don't do, if they don't follow the advice of the wicked, if they don't go down the path of sinners, if they don't sit in the seat of scoffers. And they are happy for what they do, which is meditate on God's law day and night, and enjoy the benefits of having God watch over them also day and night. Conversely, in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10, which was read this morning, those who are cursed are like that character in that song. Cursed are those who trust in people, who get their strength from flesh, and whose hearts turn away from the Lord. These are the people who get to a bad place in their lives and realize how differently it could have been. Because as Jeremiah goes on to report, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. You see, that's why I can say with integrity that Valentine's Day is not that important. Romantic love is nothing more than a subset of the love of God, which is far greater, far more all-encompassing. It's nice to be married to somebody. It's nice to be in love. I'm not disparaging these institutions of ours, but we must not regard them as the end-all and be-all of our existence. The love of God is the great love of our lives, and all of this should make sense to us Christians. We periodically sing songs that reinforce these beliefs. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, we sing, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Alleluia, alleluia. So put God first. Try to get close to God. That'd be my advice for anybody going through anything. It seems like confrontational when you say it, but it's not the advice that I wouldn't give myself. When something bad is going on, am I as close to God as I could be through this? I need to ask myself that question, and I think we all do as Christians. We, all Christians here in this room, are contextually bound. We all grow up in a place and time, and it shapes us. And we all have the common belief of Christianity and faith, and yet our society, what we're brought up in, shapes us and changes the character of our faith. Most everyone in this room today or out on Zoom was raised in the United States sometime in the late 20th century and are here in the early part of the 21st century. We've been raised with the American dream. And we Christians have intermingled the American dream with our Bible values, with our Christian values. And we've come up with something that sometimes just strays off the golden path, that takes us somewhere that we might not need to go or we shouldn't go. Our orientation is to think that all those who do the right things get rewarded, especially financially. They get rich. And those who do the bad things are punished. And those who do the bad things end up poor, and sometimes we judge based on that. We see a poor person and assume they must have done something bad to get them where they are. I remember a speech at a swim banquet one night that just sort of stuck in my head all these years later, where one of the parents, who was very successful, declared confidently, "And some people think we're lucky when we succeed, but I was taught that people make their own luck." When we succeed, our values allow us to feel self-satisfied. And driving along with those American values, we run smack into the words of Jesus. You know, Christianity is a religion based on the worship of Jesus, not as just a decent teacher or a wise counselor, but as God speaking to us when he says the words that he does. What do we do with Luke 6? Blessed are you that are poor. Wait, what? Who wants to be poor? Blessed are you who are hungry now. I got this body fighting hunger. Who wants to be hungry right now? Blessed are you who weep. What? No. We're supposed to be happy. What do you mean if you're sad, you're blessed? Blessed are you when people hate you. No. You're supposed to be well spoken of and well thought of and liked by everybody, as many as possible. When people hate you, when people exclude you or revile you or defame you on account of the Son of Man, on account of Jesus. No, we're all supposed to be universally loved and well connected, and we're all supposed to be rich. Don't forget rich. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich." I once sat in a training session. I think the pastor that was teaching it was just went off the script. And he said, why would you buy, if you believe the words of Jesus here, and you believe that we should, woe to you that are rich, why would anyone buy a lottery ticket? Because you're trying to be rich. If you win, you become rich. And Jesus says, woe to you who are rich. Do you take that seriously? I think in our minds, when those of us who have bought lottery tickets in our lives, we think, well, I'll be that one rich one that'll make it, that'll do it right. I'll still get into heaven. I can have it both ways. I can be both rich and not be a woeful person. Now, these words just challenge us. They challenge our Christianity as it has been shaped in the late 20th century and early 21st in the American values. It just slaps our values in the face and says, you know, this faith that you have needs to be straightened out, is missing something. This culture claims to be a Christian culture. And some people even think we're like God's chosen people, kind of. Boy, that's an exaggeration. No, I mean, I love this country. I hope you don't doubt my patriotism, my belief in this country. I love the free speech that we have here, because this is how I earn my living. This is how I fulfill my calling. I talk, and I don't have to worry that soldiers are going to come and take me away after I'm done, though some of you might want for that. But there's... you know, a myth that we're like God's chosen people out there, like we're the best nation in the world, we're exceptional. And this myth has been tried before in other places through the centuries. My dad was in Europe in 1970 on a vacation, and he met a man who was convinced, I mean, convinced completely to the bottom of his soul, that the English are God's chosen people. And Dad just chuckled at that notion. No offense, Naomi. The idea that the British are God's chosen people, or likewise, that the Americans are God's chosen people? Where do we get this stuff? Where do we get these ideas? I feel like there is a lot of Christianity in this country, but maybe not so much Christianity, but not so much Jesus. Go back to Jesus and listen to his words and try to let our Christianity be shaped by the words of Jesus. Jesus shows us that many of the things that we think are right are wrong. the things we celebrate most, earning a lot of money, making our own luck, filling our ever-growing bellies with rewards for our labors. I'm preaching at myself right now. Those are things that get us through for a while. Jesus so clearly saw that these will fade away, and that ultimately all the things we depend on right now leave us with nothing, and what will be left is our relationship with God. He even goes so far as to say, "Woe to you who are laughing now," and as somebody who just loves comedy, who loves to laugh, "Woe to you who are laughing now, you'll mourn and weep." I think we've got a choice here. We either say, this guy is a lunatic, and let's not listen to him anymore, because I don't think his teachings are very intuitive, especially for us raised in America at this time. Or we have to go with his own claims. This man claimed to be the Son of God. This man claimed to be divine. And this man could do miracles and heal people. And that's where I'm going to go. That's where I've chosen to go. I believe the words of Jesus are true. I believe that this is a prophecy for every generation that has followed since. Those who put their faith in dreams, no matter how seductive, even the greatest dreams, if they put them above the will of God, above waiting for the Lord to deliver us, someday all those dreams will lead them to a point where no matter how good we did, no matter how much we accumulated, no matter how well spoken of we are, no matter how self-righteous we feel justified in being, we're just so much better than those other people, one day we may be sorrowful, gazing longingly at the kingdom of God that we are not fit to enter. And it doesn't have to wait for eternity for this to happen. This can happen before we die. At some point, we realize that we have been following false dreams, and the kingdom of God is there, like a lovely woman on a park bench beside us. The love of our lives, the place where we were always meant to be. And hopefully we're not learning too late that this is not where we belong. Hopefully we're finding out that the kingdom of God, which is what we really wanted all along, is ours, and we've got it now and we'll have it for eternity. Where are you in your path, in your search for the kingdom of God? If you're far away, it's not too late to get there. Heaven is filled with tales, and will be filled with tales of people who rejected God and God's ways and went as far away from it as they possibly could, and then found him one day and went back and joined the kingdom of God and found their true love, something much greater than to be celebrated on Valentine's Day. They changed and let God change them, and they became the person they were truly designed to be. Perhaps you may feel among the cursed right now because you haven't followed kingdom values and the kingdom path. But it's not too late. Even now, you could still find yourself, through the grace of Jesus Christ, you could still find yourself among the blessed.